On Wednesday morning, we recessed the call of the chair last night at about 10:17. And I want to just say that I really appreciate the committee's intensiveness and intense work on this bill. We had before us several amendments that we need to cover. We were at the point of Representative Gruenberg. Were you going to offer an amendment?
Yes. I'd like to reoffer Amendment 17. Does everyone have a copy of that in front? Because if we do, I've already discussed it. I don't think.
Would you summarize the intent of that amendment just for everybody?
Yeah. Once again, this deals with the contributions that I discussed last night. It removes provisions that provide for increases in the contribution rate for both PERS and TRS members. And if the people want to hear it again, I'll do it, but I know you want to get this thing.
That's fine. I just wanted to clarify so that everybody knows that this is the contribution rate, 0.5% increase up to, we adopted an amendment that was offered by Representative Ramirez limiting that total contribution by an employee to 10%, and this is on the current tier employees. So the intent and the substance of this amendment would repeal any employee increase for current members of PERS or TERS. That's acceptable roundup.
An acceptable roundup.
We have amendment number 17 before us, and I've objected. Is there any further discussion on the amendment? Seeing none.
I'm sorry. Yes. Go ahead, sir.
Seeing none, would you call the roll on amendment number 17?
Mr. Chair.
Yes.
Our representative coming back here.
He's out in the hall. He stepped out.
Yeah. Well,
okay. Go ahead.
Hold 1 minute, please.
Would you summarize it one more time while we're waiting?
Yes. Mm-hmm. This is Amendment 17 that we discussed last night. It rolls back the rate increase. Sections 7 and 8 currently provide for increases in the contribution rate for TRS. Sections 87 and 88 provide for increases in the contribution rate for PERS. And all existing TRS and PERS employers, members rather, were hired with the reasonable expectation that their contribution rates to retirement systems were fixed at a contractual rate. And by the way, Article 12, Section 7 of the Constitution says that membership in employee retirement systems or its political by the state or the subdivisions thereof shall constitute a contractual relationship. And it's my contention to be certain that this thing is constitutional, the bill is constitutional. We need to keep that contribution the rate the same for existing employees, and therefore this deletes those provisions.
Thank you.
Okay, so would you call a roll?
Representative Elkins?
Yes.
Representative Lynn?
Yes.
Representative Ramirez?
No.
Representative Gardner?
Yes.
Representative Gruenberg?
Yes.
Representative Gatto?
Pass.
Chair Seaton?
No.
Representative Gatto?
What's the score here so far? Say no.
Four yay, three nay.
Amendment number 17 is adopted.
Mr. Chair?
Yes.
I had promised, I don't plan to offer any other amendments, but I did say to you at the early part of the meeting that if you wanted me to, I could summarize what we had done with the printed amendments that you had taken care of so that people could see what's still there.
Well, I'd like to go through those because there are some interactions, so I'll summarize those in a few minutes. Do we have any other amendments to be offered? We do have a few that we need to go back and take care of. We have amendment number 9 which establish a floor for employer contributions. 11% for TERS and 10% for PERS. And, no, that was on our original changes to the, for the CS that's on this sheet here.
And you were giving us chit sheet here. Going out to this. Can you give us a second?
Sure. Everybody find those. Many papers here.
What's the number again? L number, or what does it look like?
It's, looks like this.
There was also one handed out yesterday.
Yeah.
I think you're right, you've got it then.
It's on this sheet.
Yeah, it's on that sheet and it's also here. Also on the one that looks like.
Number nine?
Number nine, number nine.
This one?
Yes, it's amendment number nine.
Well, it's the first one on that little sheet there, Jim.
The first one on the little sheet, the amendments that needed to be considered, those are the two that we didn't.
I'm going to offer an amendment to not let things go over 30 pounds.
You have to take something back if you hand out any more paper.
Yeah, I did.
Has everybody found that?
But we just got rid of the whole thing.
That's it. And it's the second one down labeled number nine.
May I ask?
We'll go brief at ease. And amendment number nine, I'm offering, Representative Gatto, would you object for discussion?
No, I'll object.
The amendment number nine establishes a floor for the employer contributions at 11% for TERS and 10% for PERS. And this is the employer contribution only. It does not affect the employee contribution. What brought us into part of our unfunded liability and our past service cost is that the systems lowered their contribution rates to a, you know, went down as far as 6.75 in one system. And so what we did is we underfunded the, this does not affect the match. The employee will still be required to match at 50% of the normal cost rate. All this does is say that the employer contribution can't go down less than this. This will serve to smooth out the system, make sure that we don't get into hidden valleys.
Same thing, that's not each pick.
Just a second. Representative Elkins, did you have a question?
No, I just.
Tutoring me, Mr. Chairman.
Further the discussion here. Also, we have the problem of if we do go down to a low contribution rate by the employer, we have the statutory limit of 5%. So then all of a sudden, if we need to go up like we do now, we cannot return up. So this is a smoothing mechanism that keeps the employer at a fairly constant contribution rate and also doesn't dig us into holes when stock market goes up or down.
Good.
Representative Grimber.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. This does not affect Amendment 17. I'll support the amendment.
That's correct. Representative Gatto, did you still have an objection?
I'll withdraw my objection.
Is there any other objection to Amendment number 9? Seeing no objection, and Amendment number 9 is adopted. Then we had another amendment, which was Amendment number 11.
It's a new amendment, number 11.
No, it's from the same one. It's number 11.
It's different language, Mr. Chair.
Oh, is it?
May I speak?
An amendment on the amendment?
Yeah, we'll.
Oh, it's a new Amendment 11?
Yeah, we'll withdraw Amendment number 11, and we will call.
Speak 18.
New Amendment number 11.
We'll make this 18.
Yeah, no, we'll make it 8. Yeah, we'll make it 18, because it's different language.
Right.
And that's on the page that says amendments needed to be considered, and this is listed as number 2. And that will be Amendment number 18.
Mr. Chair?
Representative Grimber.
Yeah, I had some question about the first, the old Amendment number 11, because it only said plus any accumulated interest. This says plus any change in market value. And I assume that in an account, that would include accumulated interest. But I was wondering if you'd accept a friendly amendment, just a belt and I wear belt and suspenders.
Sure.
So plus any change in market value and any accumulated interest.
Okay, a friendly amendment adding and any accumulated interest at the end of that sentence?
Just a question, Mr. Chair.
Yes. First of all, is there, I have no objection to that amendment. Do you, are you having an objection?
I'll have to object so I can ask a question.
Okay, go ahead, Representative Gatto.
When we talk about market value, there is always this question of realized and unrealized gains or losses. And so I'm unsure personally what we mean with that phrase in regard to the amendment. That do we count unrealized gains because they can be cashed in at any time and become realized, or do we only take the amount of draw that we've actually gained? Okay. It's important to distinguish.
Representative Grunberg.
Okay, this, first of all, Representative Gatto, this does not go to the amendment to the amendment. So could we dispose of the amendment to the amendment first?
Which is adding in any accumulated interest at the end of that.
But I'll respond to the question.
Get the amendment. We're on the amendment to the amendment, which is adding and any accumulated interest.
Right.
At the end.
Okay, help me out here, because my understanding was we were changing the word interest and substituting gain or loss. But that's the old one, huh?
Yeah, here's the new one.
Okay, I'll withdraw.
Okay, that objection's withdrawn. Do we have an objection to the amendment?
May I respond to the question?
If he still has the question.
I've withdrawn my...
He doesn't have the question.
May I put on the record?
Yes, Representative Grunberg.
This includes everything. Unrealized, because it's the amount. It's like looking at your stockbroker's account.
Yeah. It's just identifying the terminology was used in the bill, but it wasn't clearly identified, and there was some question about member account and all. So this is just a clarification amendment identifying what that term means. Representative Gardner?
Thank you. Quick question. Line 32, page 32, line 10. I don't understand exactly where this would insert. Could you just read the sentence as it would read if this amendment goes through?
Yeah, that's right. Place. Oh, it should be lined up above. It's just 8 and 9.
This is a new amendment, this is a new definition, so it'd be on a separate line, and it would actually be 3.
Line 3?
Yes.
It would be, okay. I'm just 7 lines too low.
No, I don't mean that it's line 3, this is insert a section 3.
Number 3.
There should be I would like to amend this language.
Item 3.
This will be number 3 in parentheses added before member contribution account.
That makes sense now.
Thank you for that clarification, and that's adopted as a friendly. For the record, the page remains the same, page 32, line 10, and we are inserting parentheses 3, and then it reads member contribution account. And that's the definition.
So it's inserting a new definition.
It's inserting a new definition.
Thank you.
Is there any objection to this amendment? Seeing none, amendment number 18 is adopted.
As amended.
Thank you. That takes us through those. Now, if we'll go back to our amendment package. Just want to go over amendment number 5 that we adopted, because amendment number 5 dealt with the boards. We had the term was increased to 6 years and gave a rotating schedule for that. We also, in amendment number 5, the system that used nominees put forward by the bargaining units. We've since adopted 2 amendments that change this amendment. The first one was number 6 that changed the number of non-person, not, public members from 3 to 1, and put 2 trustees from PERS and 2 from TERS. So that changed the number, and then we adopted number, amendment number 16, which provided for election of those positions by those 2 systems. That still leaves in place the staggered terms and the term limits, and I just wanted to make sure that everybody was aware of the changes to that amendment that we have. We also then had a question about the number 5. Or, let's go back one. Number 5. It was number 7. Excuse me. We renumbered that to 7. And amendment number 7, if you go into the actual drafting that we got back from legal, there was a request for an explanation of that. The healthcare reimbursement account. And the healthcare reimbursement account, if we can find the right page here.
Bless you.
Take a brief at ease.
This is number 7.
Is because we adopted conceptual amendments number 4 and conceptual number 7, and 7 dealt with the health reimbursement arrangement. Representative Rammer?
Yes, sir.
Amendment number 7?
Yes.
Dealt with the health care reimbursement arrangement, and number 4 dealt with the medical plan that we adopted, and the packet that we got from Ledge Legal rolled those 2 amendments together. And those 2 amendments are in 4 as we have it on from Ledge Legal. So number 7, healthcare reimbursement arrangement, is rolled into 4. If you look in the packet, it's LS0637/L7. And I apologize for the confusion, but getting back and forth with Ledge Legal on their time frame and the time frame we're trying to work has been...
You're doing a good job.
...been very difficult.
A fine job, Mr. Chairman.
So, anyway, let's take a look at that amendment, which we adopted as 4 and has number 7 rolled into it. That's right. It's point 7.
Mr. Chair.
Yes.
I try to keep pretty good records here. And I was unaware that we had adopted L7. May I make a request?
That's correct.
May I make a request? Yes. If, in fact, we have adopted L7, may we just have a new motion to adopt L7 as a standalone amendment and repeal these others so we just have L7?
Mr. Chairman, we don't have L7.
Do you have the whole packet?
It's in the big packet.
You have this?
Good God.
No. Do you have that packet?
The big packet of amendments that we had that had the conceptual amendments that we adopted, and then later in the meeting we got the, or at the end of the meeting we got the
That's it.
Ones from Ledge Legal.
I think that'd be a little easier.
So we did adopt the 2 portions of this earlier as amendment 7, as amendment 4, and amendment number 7. And for clarification, because the languages are rolled together here,
I make a motion.
Representative Grunberg.
What I'm going to do, Mr. Chair, is move this L7 as a separate amendment, and then once. I'll move this L7 as a separate amendment, and then I'll move to rescind our action in adopting amendments 4 and 7. So, Madam Secretary, what would the next amendment number be?
18?
Okay, I'm going to move the L7 amendment as amendment number 19 and ask unanimous consent. I'm doing this on behalf of Representative Seaton.
Thank you. Is there any objections? I see no objection. Amendment number 19 is adopted, and Representative Gruenberg?
I'm at this point going to move, since amendment 4 is in number 19, I move that we rescind our action, reconsider our action in adopting amendment number 4.
Is there any objection? See no objection. We have it before us.
And are you withdrawing amendment 4?
Yes, I'll withdraw amendment 4.
And then I would now ask that we reconsider our action in adopting amendment number 7. Ask unanimous consent.
Reconsider or rescind?
No, it's reconsider. Because it's the next. Oh, I'm sorry. We have to rescind since I didn't give notice. So may I remake the motion on amendment number 4?
Representative Gruenberg.
I move that we rescind our action in adopting amendment number 4. Thank you.
And number
4. I'm going back. I couldn't do a reconsideration.
Is there any objection? See no objection. We rescinded our action in number 4.
And are you withdrawing number 4?
I am withdrawing number 4.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Then I would move we rescind our action in adopting amendment 7.
See no objection.
And then
amendment
you,
number 7 is rescinded.
Are you withdrawing that?
And I'm withdrawing that.
Thank you, motion. Mr. Chair.
Okay, so now we have before us amendment number 19, which deals with the health care benefits, which we dealt with for days, and the HRA. Couple of clarifications. One, when we're talking about retiring directly from the system, such as on page 5, lines 22 through 24. Retiring from the system means 12 months before application for retirement. However, recall that if you work for 30 years, you are eligible to retire, and you are retiring directly from the system at that time, 30 plus years. Or if you reach normal retirement age and have at least 10 years, then you are retiring directly from the system. So just a clarification, because some people were thinking that if you had your 30 years in, you had to keep working until you were 60, and you don't, because that's direct retirement from the system. There was one other clarification that we needed, and that was on the HRA language. That's page 8, line 16, lines 11 through 16. And that the member is eligible to apply for reimbursement from the health care reimbursement arrangement plan after a minimum of 10 years of service and does not have to retire directly from the system. Just to clarify this, if you work for 10 years, you have established an invested personal account in the HRA. When you reach 60 months pre-Medicare, that account is available to you. So you don't lose it. Which was a change from what was in the other. Representative Gardner.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. In the original sheet that numbered the amendments 4, 5, and 7, it talks about if an employee terminates employment before reaching the 10-year requirement for medical eligibility and doesn't come back to work within 5 years, they forfeit the accumulated balance of the HRAs. And that's not specifically, I don't see, lined out in our new amendment, L number 17, but that still holds simply by.
No. Let me get my staff, Katie. She can probably find it for us quicker.
Katie Schell, staff to Representative Seaton. I'm not sure about that. The intent of Amendment 7 was to, Amendment 7 in the original packet was to repeal the provision in SB 141 that stipulated that if you left employment for 5 years, you no longer had any access to your health reimbursement account. Also, it changed a provision in SB 141 that said if you do come back to employment, your HRA is reinstated without the accumulation of any interest. So I think the language that we have in amendment number four.
All right, you're talking about number 19 now, the
big one.
The big amendment from Ledge Legal.
Right.
We've renumbered that 19.
It renumbered it 19.
L7, we could call it.
Yeah.
Mr. Chair?
Yes.
What Representative Gardner's talking about was, Katie, at the bottom of the old amendment, original 6 and now 7. That's what she and I are concerned about.
That's what she's addressing.
Does the description on this sheet hold true?
I understand your question.
Yeah.
That's what we want to know.
I believe it does, because they...
Would you give us page and line there, Katie?
I'm on page 8, line 11 through 16 of L7.
Mr. Chair?
Yes, Representative Gardner.
If I understand this directly, just saying a member's eligible to apply for reimbursement after 10-year service. By default, it would say previous to 10-year service. So in other words, if the person leaves employment, they don't ever have the right to apply for reimbursement from the HRA.
That's the way I read it. Representative Gardner, would you be comfortable if we made a motion and took the section out of Amendment 7 that says page 58, line 16, delete 1425, 470, insert B in that section, and then starting at, you know, just that language is there that says that will insert that if a person resumes employment, the balance of their account is restored plus any accumulated interest. This way, if you leave employment, or you've been employed for 4 or 5 years, you leave employment for 8 years, you come back, you get restored your HRA. You don't lose it with that intervening 5 years.
I think that's part of the question. I'm just concerned about an employee who's paying into an HRA, and if they don't stay 10 years, they just lose the whole amount. I'm not sure that that's a fair or appropriate policy position.
Okay, and I'm going to ask my Katie, would you identify yourself and then go ahead?
Katie Shaw, staff to Representative Seaton, and Senator Green's aide, Tracy, was kind enough to point out that on page 5 of L7, it, let's see, line 9 deals with the 5 years, eliminating 5 years after date of termination, and line 12 deals with without interest or adjustment.
Great. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Representative Greenstaff. Yes, this is on page 5.
No, I understand.
Okay.
But I'm looking, if I may, through
yes,
the Chair.
Yes, Representative Grunberg.
I see absolutely where you are on page 5, lines 8 and 9. But I would like you to look, Katie, through the Chair, at the old Amendment 7, original 6, where it said on page 58, line 16, you wanted to delete a reference there and to insert something and some other language there. I assume, and I know that Ms. Craver's an excellent draftsman, I would just like to be darn sure that the intent in that is also in our final product here. And I don't know what this line 22 stuff is here. That's also in there, because I don't see any reference in the new Amendment 19 to, wait a minute, line 22. That must be on page 58. There's nothing dealing with line 22 on page 58. So
yeah,
I'm
Representative
sorry.
Grunberg, if you will turn in the bill version, L version of the bill,
yep,
to page 58.
Got it.
That's where it's termination, where, and you'll see on lines 19 and 20, or 18, we're talking about health care reimbursement arrangement, the trust fund, and then, so that's what this section deals with a person returning to employment within 5 years, and this deletes the within 5 years after the date of termination. So the person's balance is restored to them, and that's what we were trying to make sure we accomplished.
Okay, but if I understand, and I'm not an expert at all in the bill, I'd like you to take a look at lines 15. I see. Okay. I'm not going to say anything further.
Representative Gardner, I think that takes care of your concern. It was my concern as well, because that was the intent of the amendment.
Yes.
So do we have any other? Oh, we do have one other thing we want to clarify. That is the rates that we've adopted. They haven't really incorporated them in here. You have two sheets. One sheet is schedule PERS and SERS normal cost rate that was passed out. And then you have another sheet there that goes through the current and projected cost rates.
Does it look like?
It looks
like
today?
Like this.
Thank you.
They should just be
pair.
Passed out. These two.
Probably should look for it.
Yes.
Treat me like you're eight.
Okay. Whatever it was.
Label page 24 on the bottom, the chart.
Yeah, I've got that.
The one that the chart is labeled that, and the other one doesn't have a label, but it starts, currently TERS employees contribute 8.65% of salary.
Ah, let's see.
Katie?
Got it.
Can you get a few of those,
here,
a few more of the...
She's got her. We'll share with Bob.
You have? Okay.
I'm sorry.
No, we're fine.
Oh, here, I've got it.
Oh, we've got it now.
Thank you. Sorry.
Okay, we just want to clarify, because we changed some rates around in there. First of all, you have the sheet that shows the normal cost rate, the columns there. If you add up the column, a normal cost rate back from 1980, that is 10.86 is the average normal cost rate for employers, and it is 11.16. For TERS, that's the averages on those. And we just want to make sure what we're doing on the employer cost rates on these. And so, as you can see, when we went from, when we made a change from 10 and 11 on PERS and TERS to 8, we want to make sure that we were not including, that everybody understands that the other amendments we took that increased the contribution rate for medical are included on top of there. So,
Mr. Chairman, excuse me, I got to run down to fishery just for a minute.
Okay, and this is the last amendment that I think we have, and so if we need you, we'll come get you. Thank you. And so, as you can see, this conceptual amendment increasing 1.75 contribution to major medical in SB 141 to 3.75 for the TRS employees and to 3.5 for PERS employees. And that would change on page 82, line 8, delete 175 and put in 3.5. And on page 16, line 10, delete 175 and put in 7.5.
Mr. Chair?
Yes, and that's going to be offered as amendment number 20.
Mr. Chair, I'm going to object for a second here.
Sure.
And may we just have a brief at ease?
Sure, we can. And once again, I want to explain what this is we adopted our major medical policy, and we just want to make sure that we have funded our major medical policy.
Does this have any effect on Amendment 17?
Amendment number, no, it has no effect on amendment okay. Number 17.
And I will withdraw my objection.
Okay, and it in the, I might have misstated, page 16, line 10, we're deleting 1.75 and putting in 3.75.
Well, it's 3.75, not 3.5.
Mr. Chairman, what's the cost of that going to be? That sounds like it's pretty significant, isn't it?
The difference between 1.75 and 3.5.
3.75.
Yeah, and 3.75 is 2%.
No, I appreciate that. I was quite able to do that computation.
Hey, it's still 10 o'clock last night.
I was trying to extend it out to appreciate how expensive that means, what kind of expense it is on an annual basis. What's the gross number that we're referencing this to? Is this on the gross amount of payroll on an annual basis? I mean, how many millions of dollars does that 2% represent?
I'll see if Katie, do you have that information? We had it all before when we were dealing with the amount. Tracy, can you come forward and let us know? Again, we've adopted a major medical portion pre-Medicare eligible.
Right.
And so that is something we want to make sure that we're not just subtracting off of the 8%. And the way we adopted our amendments the other day, it wasn't clear that we adopted the employer contribution back to compensate and pay for the major medical plan that we felt was very important. So, Tracy.
Good morning, Mr. Chair. Tracy Carpenter, staff to Senator Lyda Green.
Thank you.
Through Chair, Representative Ramos, the cost of that particular increase over SB 141 is approximately $47 million.
Right, and to whose benefit does that accrue? An employer shall can also contribute an amount equal to 1.75. So does this mean that the employer's contribution is increasing by $47 million annually?
Through the chair, Representative Ramos, that is correct.
All right, why are we doing this, Mr. Chairman?
Representative Ramos, we adopted a major medical policy.
Right.
We've got a 2% HRA, and we did a major medical policy that kicks in 60 months before
right.
Medicare eligible. So the difference between what we had worked on in state affairs and what originally was in House Bill 141 was that 141 has no medical coverage or no medical subsidy pre Medicare eligible age, and our bill that we adopted and all the medical components have a cost. And of course that cost, that major medical portion has been identified by both employers and employees as their most important component of the retirement and benefit package. And so that's why we rolled our section of the bill that we worked on extensively in here.
This is L7, is that right? And this references a mechanism to pay for L7. Is that a fair way to?
That's correct. The mechanism was built into the original and the original 11% for TERS and the 12% for PERS, or 10% for PERS employer contribution and 11% for PERS, but we took that down to 8%. And as you'll see from the sheet on the normal cost rates, our normal cost rates over the last 20 years have been 10.86 on PERS and 11.16 on TERS, and currently they're 13.24 for
right.
PERS and 14.28 for TERS. So this is still a significant reduction in even the normal cost rate, not doing anything with the past service cost.
Thank you very much. I appreciate it.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Representative Grunberg.
I think technically, if you're changing 3.5 to 3.75, that should be an amendment to the amendment.
Did I offer it as 3.5?
You offered the
local. Okay. Sure. You want to offer that as an amendment?
Yes, Mr. Chair. I would, the language currently in the conceptual amendment on line page 16, line 10, inserts 3.5, and I would move an amendment to the amendment to make that 3.75%. Let me just ask, does that also require that the 3.5 on the previous line, no change?
No change.
So that is my only amendment to the amendment, to change page 16, line 10, from 3.5 to 3.75.
Thank you, and that's considered a friendly amendment. Is there any objection? Seeing no objection. That, and just for everybody's understanding, that's the TERS section, page 16, line 10, and page 82, line 8 is PERS. So there is a difference in the medical between those two. Is there any objection to the amendment?
Amendment number 20. Was I the person who objected? If I did, I withdraw it.
Okay, it's withdrawn. Is there any further objection to the amendment 20? Seeing none, amendment number 20 is adopted. Do we have any further amendments to be offered to SB 141? Seeing none, do we have a motion on the bill?
The chair?
Yes, Representative. Go ahead.
I'll move committee substitute for Senate Bill 141 Finance Version L as amended with individual recommendations and attached fiscal notes.
Thank you, Representative Gatto, and Representative Gardner has objected. He knows. And clerk, would you call the roll, please?
Are you going to have any discussion?
Sure, I was waiting for some. Representative Gardner.
Okay.
we'll hold off on the roll. Representative Gardner.
Thank you. I think there's a undeniable natural inclination to resist massive change. This bill, I mean, clearly we have a problem in the state that needs to be addressed. Time matters. But as one of the testifiers yesterday actually had a sentence that I thought was really excellent. Give me one second to find it. I'm sorry, I can't find it. Lay my hands on. Oh, he said. This proposed legislation is a radical reinvention of the state's retirement system. That was an Alaskan firefighter. And the crux of it, of course, is moving from a defined benefit plan to a defined contribution plan. And I think that there clearly are some benefits. And a defined contribution plan, I think, could be constructed in a way that really meets the needs of the states, both employers and employees. I'm not convinced that this plan does that, and part of my concern is that this is all done in such a rush that I don't believe I fully understand it. I don't believe that the stakeholders fully understand it and have had every opportunity to really participate. If we are going to put in place a radical change, and it has long-term consequences, once we put it in, there's no going back for any employees hired under it, I think it merits more careful discussion. This is no slur whatsoever on the leadership of the chair of this committee. I've applauded you before, and I do again. But I think you've done a really excellent job in laying out the problem and trying to keep the process moving forward. I think the amendments this committee has offered are improvements over the original bill. But I don't think we're ready to vote.
Do you think, Representative Lynn?
Yes, Mr. Chairman. I too would like to join in applauding the chair of this committee for wading through some 30 pounds of paperwork. Not so facetiously, a few minutes ago, I was contemplating an amendment to limit this paperwork to maybe 30 pounds, but I withdrew the amendment. I've had and I continue to have some very serious concerns, you know, about this bill. The intent is good, but the devil is in the details. I'm concerned about poor souls who could outlive their retirement. You know, the proverbial widow of the cop. I've had some concerns about the makeup of the board and the process of putting someone on the board and concerns about changing the contribution rates for people who are currently covered, but those concerns have been addressed by amendment, and I want to thank the board for that, and it's helped me in my decision making process. That said, I was elected to make some very hard decisions, and let the chips fall where they may. This bill, like all bills, is an attempt to balance the equities, in this case, equities between the employees, which I care very much about, and the taxpayers of the state, which I care very much about. And it's a tough decision. It's a tough medicine, I think, that we may have to take to help address the financial health of the state. I am joined some of my colleagues in being concerned about pushing too fast on this bill, but every day we do delay exacerbates the potential problems.
Thank you, Representative Lynn. Is there any further discussion on the bill? Representative Gatto.
Thanks, Mr. Chair. The Senate Bill 141 arrived here with a sponsor statement, and in the sponsor statement, I'm going to read a line. It says, in 2003, the governor appointed a subcommittee of the PERS and TERS boards that was charged with researching and evaluating the concepts of a new retirement tier. Subcommittee worked throughout 2004, and there's more. And now we're in 2005, and there was so much work done on the Senate side to reach where we are. And we've been working since February on the House side. And it may seem rushed, but everything we do, to some degree, is within time frames. Otherwise, we would have House Bill 1 still in front of us if we took all the time that was necessary, and we would never get to House Bill 2, by the way, both of which are mine.
We still do have House Bill 1.
And House Bill 2 is still in its first committee of referral, never having had a single vote. So some things fall by the wayside, and other things get a lot of scrutiny. I have to tell you, maybe the limit should be 30 pounds, and you can't give us the 31st pound unless you take another pound back. We do spend night and day. You wake up in the middle of the night, and you're saying, what did I miss yesterday? We have spent a great deal of time on this, and it is an imperfect document. Gosh, first one to agree to that. I get email from personal friends that I've known for a great many years who say, stop SB 141. And then they talk about my children and where their futures are and why I was so lucky because I was in, with the fire department in, of all things, Tier 1, and enjoy a good retirement. And I want everybody to enjoy a good retirement. I do. But on the other hand, I feel like I'm hired by the public to take care of the state's business. And the state's business is, when everybody's walking toward the cliff, somebody's got to put a barrier up there because we will fall off the cliff. We will. $5.7 billion today, $6.5 billion next year, $10 billion, and soon enough, $30 billion, a magic number, which says that the entire permanent fund could not take care of our indebtedness. The entire thing. And so the concerns of every member here, stated or unstated, are what's the right thing to do for everybody? Which means some people are going to say, why me? Lord, why me? Well, me is me and everybody here too, and my own children and my own spouse and all our children and spouses and the unborn children who will live here or are being born today. We cannot get ourselves so far in debt over a retirement system without, and I couldn't possibly leave here and say, it was easy enough just to say, ignore it or let it ride until it gets worse. I feel like I have a troubled vehicle. It desperately needs some maintenance. That's what we're doing here is we're doing the maintenance. Somebody's saying, we got to change the engine. Well, the engine is the retirement system. We might have to change the engine because the old one won't take us where we want to go. It won't get us there. Law. Pardon me?
I said a primary seatbelt law.
Well, that's a maintenance thing besides the engine. So, you know, I'd like to say I apologize. I'm going to vote yes to pass this bill out. I think it needs to go to finance and even more testimony and more input from individuals. It's absolutely crucial that we're not making this happen. We're allowing it to go to another group that will work on it. And hopefully by the time it reaches the governor, it will be still an imperfect document, but less imperfect. And as we struggle through 06 and 07 and 08 and 09, we can always modify, change, and go back, as many people said. You're going to want to go back to a defined benefit. Everybody else did. Well, everybody else didn't. But it's a good statement to make. Gee, you guys are going the wrong way. Other people are going back to a defined benefit. Well, that's a great story, but I don't see the facts that indicate the people who have tried one thing. And I got to tell you, in the fire department decided, let's try privatization. What a great idea. We're going to save the public money. Well, it didn't work. And we're back to publicly owned fire departments. There is possibilities to change and move back. And so I'd like to leave you with the idea that we're not just letting this go and washing our hands of it. This issue will continue to involve this body, this legislature, and you'll see it again in 06 and 07 and 08. We won't forget it, but we are putting our feet in the water and taking a chance and saying, in order to save the system, we have to do something. And if we do nothing, we are making a decision, and a bad one. So we have to do something, and you may not, somebody's always going to be mad at this, other people are going to be happy, but I have to say, it's only with a great deal of personal sweat, tears, and loss of sleep, and involvement in doing this and not other things that I wanted to spend time on, that we've gotten this far, and I applaud every member on this committee for the amount of time and energy that we've put into it. So I have to say that I hope we're unanimous on this. We may not be, and that would indicate how imperfect it really is. But I'd like to say thank you for the input that we had.
Mr. Chair.
Thank you. Representative Grunberg.
Before we vote on the bill, I do have a question, and it's really on behalf of the minority members here. There is a statute that we discussed, although not by number, and it's a statute that provides occupational death benefits, AS 39.35.430. I see there is nothing in the bill that amends or repeals that statute, and I would just like that on the record. And it, please, if anybody... I would ask if anybody here differs from my interpretation. I do not see that statute repealed or amended. And I just want it to be crystal clear that that statute remains on the books.
Well, I don't know of any amendment in here on that, but I can't, I haven't heard of any.
Okay, thank you. Now, may I make a brief statement?
Yes, Representative Grimmer.
Thank you. I think what we've done has improved, and I very much respect the Senate and the work they've tried to do in addressing this problem. And I think that the work of the chair and his staff has been really good, and we all appreciate them a lot, and I think we appreciate them on all the work they do on all the bills. You've got a really great staff, and they haven't gotten any recognition this year. And
go Katie!
And Louie. And
Louie!
Yeah, who's in the front office there. And I think all of our staffs, too, deserve a hand, because I think we all tremendously have really good staff on this committee. That being said, I have just two concerns. In politics, there's nothing that's perfect, or often close to it. We do the best we can with what we've got. And as I've said before, we have the watch and we have the con. And maybe other people could do a better job, but we're the people who are here for better or for worse, as my wife tells me often, and usually for worse in my case. But the situation is that I want to be certain that we are not too far ahead of the population here, because if people don't understand what we've done and we don't have the popular support, that can be a real problem, and I don't want to see that occur. And I would much prefer, I'm not going to vote to pass this out, because I think this is the committee that should be making certain that whatever product we have has the external support it needs to be the best bill it can be. And that the people support what we've done on a bipartisan basis. And secondly, I am concerned that all the work that's been done in this committee can be undone farther down the line in the next 20 days. And I think that we should have some agreements before this bill moves to make certain it's not instantly undone.
Thank you, Representative Grunberg. Representative Elkin, Representative Ramos, do you have anything to add? Okay, well, I would just say that I appreciate the entire committee's indulgence and work, and my staff and all the other staff on this, as well as the Senate that we worked in conjunction with on this bill. And Madam Clerk, would you call the roll on the committee substitute for Senate Bill 141, Finance as amended? That's 24LS0637/L.
With amendments.
With, yeah, individual recommendations and attached fiscal notes.
Representative Lim.
Yes.
Representative Ramros.
Yes.
Representative Gardner.
No.
Representative Grunberg.
No.
Representative Gatto.
Yes.
Representative Elkins.
Yes.
Chair Seaton.
Yes.
5 yea, 2 nay.
For Senate Bill 141, Finance as amended, moves from committee with individual recommendations and attached fiscal notes. And I thank all of the testimonies, and we will adjourn this time and appreciate all the work.